Ko te wā tēnei mō Peps Picks.
Yes, that's right. It's time for my favourite segment of the week. It is Peps Picks with the one and only Pep, Mr. Martin Pepperell. Hello, Martin Pepperell.
Hello, good morning, Liam.
How are you?
Feeling well rested.
Are you?
The, you know, fun weekend.
Yes.
Down in Canterbury.
Yes. Tell me, what did you...
Awards.
Oh, did you go to those?
Yes, I was in attendance.
Were they excellent?
Oh, look, that was run like a well-oiled machine. Precision, precise cuts, hosting, great speeches from the prize winners.
Yes.
Look at you. Look at you. Really
stop.
Just going, hey, Liam did this amazing thing where he just really added to the mana of his co-host, Bex. He got her to get up and sing us a lullaby.
And didn't
she Munchak's cover
do friggin' amazing at that?
Oh, dude. That was so good. Munchak's in the style of Sade, but you're wearing a suit. 80s new wave fashion.
Yeah, I was stoked about that. Because I didn't know what she was doing. I knew she was singing at the end. But I had no clue what I was in store for. So I was pleasantly surprised. And Bex is great. I'm, like, so glad she got to do that. Because I felt like I was doing a lot of the talking. And, of course, I have no qualms with that. But, you know, I wanted... Like, she needed some fucking attention too. So I'm very happy.
Oh, look, it was the secret weapon. I thought it was the perfect way to conclude a beautiful 1 hour and 50 minutes of celebration.
Okay, well, the way you said an hour and 50 there, okay, calm down, it wasn't that long. Like, an hour and 50 is not that long.
No, 1 hour and 50 is good.
Good, thank you, yes.
1 hour and 50 is really good. I've been to a few award ceremonies this year, and I was like, this is great. This is awesome. Bit of mingling beforehand, bit of mingling afterwards.
Yeah. Like, I love a mingle.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. And, you know, back in the early 90s in Tokyo, when people were mingling, a big part of mingling in the counterculture nightlife scene was in the chill-out rooms. The chill-out rooms at nightclubs in districts like Shibuya, Shinjuku, Oyama, these places with names like Cave, Space Lab Yellow, Maniac Love. These incredible, beautiful places at Worm, these amazing nightclubs. There'd be a dance room, there'd be a chill-out room, a bar room, these multi-room venues people would spend whole evenings in. Sometimes even be a little restaurant in the corner making some ramen. And when people wanted to connect and people wanted to talk and people were making friends, or they just wanted to relax, it often ended up in the chill-out room. And so you had this intersection between chill-out music and house music. And IDM, intelligent dance music, which is a bit of a silly name, but they use it to describe some British stuff from the 90s.
I love it.
Some people call it brain dance.
Oh.
Some people call it brain
I've
dance.
I've not heard that dance. Term, but I like that too.
And people also talk about body music, you know, the more sort of the physical side of it. And, I mean, IDM is funny because obviously you have EDM, you know?
Yes, exactly.
EDM, IDM, but also IDM could stand for idiot dance music.
It could.
Yeah. So this was a real thing in Japan because of the background context of Kankyo, Ongaku, the love of ambient music. All of this filtered into dance music at the time. And the reason I'm fucking rambling about all of this is today's music is an extract from a new compilation album, Virtual Dreams 2, Ambient Explorations in the House and Techno Age, Japan, 1993 to 1999, released recently by Music From Memory.
Rolls off the tongue, that name, doesn't it?
Oh, look, it's magical. This was compiled by Eiji Taniguchi and Jamie Tiller. Jamie Tiller, the Music From Memory founder, who tragically passed away in a drowning incident a year ago. This is the final project he worked on.
Oh, please.
Final project. EG has been a big part of their world for a long time, works in a record store called Revelation Time in Osaka, helps them with compilations like Hisi no Otto and the Dream Dolphin compilation. Close relationship. People who really love this music in this era put their hearts into finding the choicest cuts. This is the CD era also. Vinyl was starting to fade out. CDs were coming in big time. CDs never came in as big anywhere as they came in Japan. Japan in the 90s.
Really? Okay. I can believe that, actually, to be honest.
Well, there's a philosophical thing at the time. Credit cards took a really long time to take off in Japan. And it was a philosophical thing of you shouldn't buy something you can't afford.
Yeah, totally.
And as music made the thing of the CD, okay, it's small, it's beautiful. This is Tokyo. People are living in small apartments. Records are beautiful, they're big.
Yeah.
Take up a lot of space. CD's smaller. But then, as we get to the end of the 90s into the 2000s, we enter the age of digital piracy. Now this idea of you shouldn't buy something you can't afford, this idea, philosophically, for a certain percentage of the population, this extended over to the concept of why would you pay for something you can't touch?
Right.
You know, now, I mean, this is, you know, things like Spotify took a long time to take off in Japan also, you know, why it's... So what this meant is that
it's
the CD medium... Yeah. It's a mindset thing. And what it meant is... Because there's a lot of things that I've noticed in Japan over the years where they will sometimes sacrifice efficiency to maintain social functionality.
Yeah, right.
So you'll see people doing types of jobs that you'd think, surely that could be automated.
Yeah, right,
but if you automate those jobs, you're not going to have full employment. So a country which reaches into the future while maintaining an awareness of tradition in the past. And all of these things are changing rapidly. Actually, like, a lot of these intoxicating stereotypes people have about Japan have been eroding rapidly over the last 10 to 15 years. But you'll still feel the afterglow of it. And this time period in particular, so this 93 to 1999, this is the era of Japanese techno labels like Sublime Records, Transonic, Synergy Records, Frogman Records, Form Records. This is the rise of a generation of bedroom producers and composers, people like Kenichi, Susumu Yokota. But for Virtual Dreams too, they're really honing in. You know, these are names that... you'd only really be familiar with them if you were really familiar with this world already. People like Katsuya Hironaka, Yukihiro Fukutomi, Ambient 7, Virgo, Palomatic, Dub Squad, Drawing Future Life, the whole sorts of beautiful stuff collected across. Music that bisects the lines between ambient, techno, IDM, chill out music, textures and atmospheres. Ambient techno, ambient house is probably the best way to describe what's going on here. So this could be music to chill out to. It could be music for dancing to under certain situations and settings. Maybe those beautiful late night moments. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone who isn't in for the long haul has left, or is too drunk has left. The people are left to the people there who just want to keep going, keep dancing till close or until dawn. People have heard the big tunes earlier in the night. They've got their fill. They're more willing to just go with what's going on. Anyone who's played all night sets in nightclubs.
It's a nice way to end, really, isn't it?
Yeah, they know what it's sort of talking about. There's a line you cross, everyone's convinced they're having a good time, and you just want to gently you know, gently get them to the conclusion, play them some stuff they might not hear otherwise.
Eloquently put. So,
and there's another factor of this too.
Yes.
Okay, we've talked about the Japanese listening bars.
Yeah.
The record bars. You know, so this is the jazz kisses. That's what they started as. Late night cafes, we'd go and listen to jazz records.
Mm.
There's this listening culture in Japan. It's a pressure release functionality. After work, you know, you go and sit in the kisa, quietly listen to some music, don't talk, you know, drink some whiskey, eat some food, whatever. Just sit there, decompress before you go on to the next thing. It's a listening culture.
God, and, I love that. That
culture in the background, what that meant was it created the possibility of listening techno.
Yeah, right.
Listening techno. You know, this is as much as people would want to dance to music like this.
It's about the listening.
People, yeah, I mean, that's as important too, you know, to really just listen and enjoy the textures and the melodies and revel in the music.
That's such an interesting thought. I have to admit, I am in love with that whole listening bar culture. Like, the idea of that, oh, just gorgeous.
Well, you gotta go.
I know.
You gotta go to Tokyo and Kyoto.
I'll just go right now with my overwhelming amounts of money I have.
Well, you know, where there's a will, there's a way.
I'm real on the $1 scratchy buzz at the moment. Love them. Love them.
I mean, not here to judge.
Well, I can feel the judgment.
Hey, it's $1. It's $1.
It's $1. You know? It's $1, exactly.
It's $1. It's a little endorphin hit.
Yeah. Precise. Thank you, Martin. Thank you.
Yeah, but also just don't escalate, because then we'll have to have a whole other conversation.
I know. I have self-control. Anyway, Martin, bless you and your incredible encyclopedic brain. Thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you. And let's listen to Prelude by Virgo.
Oh, great song. Thank you. Have a great day. He can, but I can't. Have a great day. That's fine. Here's Prelude by Virgo.
Thank you.
Ko te wā tēnei mō Hips Picks.